You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest this hour is Richard in Washington, which just goes to prove that if you call into my program often enough, you just might be a guest eventually on the program. Richard, welcome.
Good morning. That was a great first interview. Of course, I'm a little upset at William because, you know, I just saw Argo, and I know everything he said was a lie, he's revising history. And then he really destroyed one of my main tenets of peak oil. I can't believe that he would challenge that concept.
Well, you know, it's the truth. What he says is absolutely true. And oil is a renewable energy, and the oil companies made that up, and it's all about price, just as they did about the spice wars, and the rarity, scarcity of all those spices that we all enjoy.
Yeah, then I'm really upset because he misquoted my other pseudonym, which is Richard the Lionheart. Instead, he called me George the Lionhearted. I mean, I got to wonder about that. I got to wonder about that guy.
Oh, he's a fabulous guy. He really
is. He's one of the great guys of revisionist history as it applies to us today.
Well, we were talking over the weekend. I called you on Saturday, and I thought, well, I'm just going to ring him up and just ask him if he'd like to be on the program. And we ended up talking almost 2 hours, I think, and had a very enjoyable talk. And it's something that usually when you call into the program, it's our time is very limited. And so, you know, we usually have callers behind you. And we don't get much of a chance to chat, but hopefully we'll remedy that today. And sometimes I ask the board op, is Richard going to talk about grains today? And today you really are going to talk about grains. And I've read one book and was told about another book that I also purchased via Kindle. And, you know, we can learn a lot from our callers. And certainly that has been the case with you.
Well, thank you much. Today for the presentation, I'll change my pseudonym to Richard the Robust Revisionist.
Okay.
And that's the key. The robust is the key because we're going to talk about health. And as William pointed out, everything we're taught is total disinformation. And one of the main areas of disinformation is what we consider to be food.
Right. Right, and this book that I purchased just Friday, I believe it was. It's called Wheat Belly: Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight. Now, I wasn't so much interested in losing weight, but what I learned from reading this book, oh my goodness, I will never look at wheat in the same way. And rather than it being the staff of life, it is probably just the opposite. And, of course, I gained a little bit of this knowledge, too, from reading Lier Keith's book, The Vegetarian Myth. There was a lot of things in her book I didn't agree with, but there was certainly her own version of what happened to her health and the fact that she recognized it before she died was a good thing.
Well, that's it. And my presentation today, I'll try to get you to believe a little more of what she said, because my task is to confront the regular listeners with objective reality. Okay, and I'll draw upon the lost concept of common sense. We're going to get heavy into common sense today. So the main thing we want to start with, because I know we're getting close to a break, is I want to remind you that in this civilization cycle, we have had electricity, refrigeration, stoves and ovens only within the last 200 years or less. So for what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to ask you to think about how humans got to where they were 200 years ago. Okay, we arrived there, I believe, after over a couple of, or maybe tens of thousands, maybe millions of years, and I put this term in quotation marks, of
Richard,
evolution.
We do have a we do have a break, so we'll be right back. And it's not exactly. It's not a quick break. It's a 3-minute break. Be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Richard in Washington. So, please continue.
Yeah, so for the talk, let's get our mind right. We're going to put ourselves in a common sense perspective and ask the question, what did our great-great-grandparents consider food? And I define food as dietary intake that gives the individual the maximum nutritional input and thus allows him or her to live a long and maximally healthy life without any disease or symptoms. If we're without electricity, you had to cook over an open fire. In fact, only recently would we even have had a wood-fired stove or oven. And go outside and try to heat or cook your meal over an open fire. And this should give you a whole new understanding of how technology has completely redefined our concept of food. Not only has it redefined it, but it's totally destroyed our concepts of what food is. So like when I talked with you, I asked the listeners to go to the library or to the Price Pottinger Nutrition Foundation online and buy and or read the short book Pottinger's Cats. And it will document how heating above the body temperature, as we talked about, challenges not only our health, but also the soil and the plants on the biosphere of the earth that gives us life. And that is an amazing thought-provoking concept.
That website is ppnf.org, ppnf.org, Price Pottinger.
Right, And when I hit the wall, as I call eating carbohydrates and committing suicide, I lucked on, or I believe a guiding hand always guided me, and came to that foundation. And they have some amazing resources of how the original founding fathers of nutrition, trying to get us healthy, had a whole different concept of what food was. And for this presentation, you can go to like Mel Gibson's DVD, Apocalypto, or The End of the Spear, or any other DVDs that portray the life of humans only several hundred years ago, and get a common sense wake-up call. And with that in mind, I ask you to think about the food available locally to humans year-round, and that's the key, year-round, only several hundred years ago. And if you think about this, there weren't any fruits genetically altered to be swollen, sugar-laden abnormalities, much like the mice that William was talking about that were eating the GMO corn. They were really originally small, bitter seed coverings. And you think about these things that have been done to our food supply or what we consider food, and you get a whole different perspective. And these seed-covering bitter fruits were only available for, a small period of time during the season. So that really changes our concept. And we didn't have any vast fields of grain ready for corporate harvesting and processing, as we do today. So, again, a totally revisionist thinking. No corporate gardens/farms producing abundant quantities of vegetables and other agricultural products. So getting back to our point, think back to what your great-great-grandparents were able to acquire throughout the year as food. In the rural parts of Europe and other less developed countries, they have the same kind of perspective, and they only have access year-round to seasonal fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts, and legumes for short periods in the growing season. And throughout most of the year, they depend, for the most part, on the native and nutritive materials provided by herbivores. So if we think about that, mostly they are dependent upon dairy products, milk, either from, depending on their location, cows, goats, reindeer, etc., and all of these animals have been domesticated. And they are usually prepared as kefir, yogurt, or buttermilk so that they can be stored and preserved because, quote-unquote, until recently we didn't have any refrigeration. So you had to maintain the food source for as long as possible. And then possibly eggs, eggnogs, eggs in dishes that provided the background of proteins and fats. And all of these, come from herbivores and or fish or fowl, which is the main way that we can get food all throughout the year. And also you could hunt or domesticate herb animals or herd animals that are herbivores and get tissue from them in some form or another. Recall Dancing with Wolves with Kevin Costner. This is when I talk to clients, this is what I always refer to. And you get the Hollywood version of life only several hundred years ago, which kind of changes your perspective. But it visually demonstrates how humans were dependent on the enormous herds of the plains grassland. These Native Americans were provided food, clothing, and materials for daily existence. More importantly now, we're going to use common sense to counteract the Hollywood presentation. Why would the Plains Native Americans use their winter survival fire materials to cook the buffalo meat for feasting?
Didn't they dry it, shred it and dry it?
Exactly. Common sense tells us that they probably had, they just put the huge buffalo into the ground and had dung fires over the top of it to warm it up and slow cook it. There's some aspects of that today. We have slow cooking with crock pots. But ideally, in olden times, that's all they could do is slow cook it, and Hawaiians do the same thing, is they put the pig in the ground and slow cook it by starting the fire on top of it and just heat it in the warm ground. Or, like you said, they could have put it out in the sun, hanged it out in the sun, and made jerky out of it, which is exactly what was happening in the reality of what happened versus the Hollywood presentation of what happened.
Right. And I listened to another program that you were on with Melody, and you were talking about how the people in Alaska, the Eskimos, would put something away in the ground for several months until they could smell it from a half mile away. And I knew about this also, and I thought, yes, indeed. But that's what they do with it, and that's fermenting things.
Yeah, and that was, in their case, the delicacy. You know, until you could smell it for a half a mile away, it wasn't ready. And that's
right.
How you knew where it was and what it was. And you know, that was, you know, the prized source of food. And today, if we think about that, I mean, most of us would get sick and just totally be turned off. But since we've gone in that direction, I'll give you the background of a media star, you know, as we brought Argo out, a Ben Affleck or a Matt Damon of the time. And his name was William, and he changed his name to the Icelandic version, Vilmar Stefansson. And, he had an English name and then an Iceland name. And he was born in Canada in the late 1800s and went to Harvard, much like Damon and Affleck. And he discovered, as an anthropologist in 1910, the blonde Eskimos. And he did a lot of stuff, and some things didn't turn out so well. In 1921, he financed the Wrangel Island expedition, and that hit some major problems. But he learned from that, and what he did is he started studying the Inuit diet. And back in the 30s, there was this great big controversy as to what food was. And his presentation, and he wrote a book called Not by Bread Alone, what he said was, like the Inuits or the Eskimos, you could live 90% on meat and fish, no vegetation whatsoever. This was the first low-carbohydrate diet. And because of that, because it became so popular, of course, the AMA would challenge that. And so he agreed to do an experiment that was written up in the Journal of American Medical Association in the 1930s. And he challenged the then-existing idea of food. And he came out successful, even though it was suppressed. You'll never find about that much about that today, even though it was written up in all the great books. He was the media star back then with Good Housekeeping and Red Book and all the other local magazines, because there was no theaters and TV much all around as there is today. There was mostly reading material. But what happened, he went into a hospital for a year, came out healthier than he went in, and existed only on meat and proteins. So, you know, there's a classic turnaround of what we've been presented. If you look
right.
at...
And I think a lot of us are familiar with the Atkins diet, which was a lot of proteins, and people were saying, oh, that'll make you really sick, and you're going to get sick and die. And that's just not the case.
Well, as I talked to you in the two-hour talk we had, I talked with Atkins at a health expo in Los Angeles before he passed away, and tried to convince him, and it was kind of funny the way it came out, that the problem with his diet was not, you know, eating the proteins and fats. The problem was heating them. If you heat proteins, you rancify and cross-link the protein bonding, and if you heat fats, you rancify and oxidize that material. So basically, Atkins diet has poor quality proteins and fats. Your body has to work overtime and challenge with its immune system what you're putting into it, and that's not productive. I mean, it's like taking two steps back to take one step forward. So initially, you lose weight. But bottom line, you're challenging the system by putting this toxicity, much like in the first hour, they were talking about feeding the GMO grains to the rats, who are more herbivores, but they created great big tumors because the challenge was that this is not really food anymore. It's been totally rearranged and destroyed vibrationally as to what it should be.
Right, and in the book, Wheat Belly, Dr. Davis talks about the fact that wheat has been changed drastically from what it was several hundred years ago, several thousand years ago, and our body simply cannot handle it. We are going to take a break, so we will be back in 3 minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Please continue. What were you talking about? I was reading something else. Somebody in the chat room mentioned an article about Dr. Davis. And the wheat we have today, which I said earlier, is not the wheat that our grandparents had. It is an opiate. It is addictive. It affects everybody, not just people who have a gluten sensitivity.
Well, that's it. I'll piggyback off the commercial that was led into this. We've been shocked about how deep the lie and conspiracy goes. Like I said earlier, everything we consider to be food has been modified. Like I said, the fruits, other vegetable things that we put in our body and call food, they're really not food. They're just money makers for the powers that be. I call them the interbreeding sociopathic tribe. But wheat is one of the most destructive. And, I mentioned that in the thing I did for Melody called what I call the civilization cycle. It is the most destructive, quote unquote, food. And, part of the conspiracy, if you want to call it that. I look at everything today as an onion. There's a little bit of foundational truth in the middle, but then on top of that, there's a covering of lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And even if you peel away the first lie, you're only stuck with another lie that you have to peel away to get to the other lie. And when you finally get to the bottom, there's only a small grain of real truth. as William Ingdahl pointed out in the oil conspiracy and or the myth of the October surprise, you know, it's all business. So, you know, you really have to check about things and really investigate them to get to the truth.
Sure. When we see the plague of obesity and all these people and animals that have diabetes, it's all because of wheat.
Well, that's it. Look at what William pointed out with the rats. I mean, what were these? They were huge, optimally, obese rats. And the material that they were growing was tissue, but it was in a tumor form. I mean, that's exactly, you look around you today and go through any mall, you see these people that, you know, are these rats. I mean, you know, they're eating the same stuff. And, you know, you have to be realistic. And like I said, go back to what your great grandparents were eating as food. You'll get a whole different perspective. And if you want to check out the DVD, The New World, with Colin Farrell, you can see the Hollywood history of how the first pilgrims almost died of starvation trying to survive as farmers before the Native Americans provided them with the superior nutrition of food provided by hunting and or domesticating native herbivores. And,
oh, you mean like roast turkey with cranberry sauce?
Well, that's it. Dressing? Let's emphasize Thanksgiving and the wild turkeys. I mean, that's food. It's not the grains. That's what the turkeys are supposed to eat. They're herbivores. We're supposed to eat the turkeys. That's part of the cycle. And all these people that are into the spiritual aspect of things and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I don't think if you told the pilgrims back at when they were trying to get off the ground that they would have bought into that stuff. I mean, there's an aspect of that. But if you look, another person pointed out, and I didn't get to confront him about that, we are a hologram. The world is a hologram. Our bodies are a hologram. And if that is true, it's just a transfer of energy. So it doesn't matter if you're eating, quote-unquote, another animal or fruits, vegetables, and grains. It's all the same transfer of energy. We devise this great big morality over the whole thing, but it really doesn't have any truth in the perspective.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One thing that Lierre pointed out in her book when she was trying to talk to other vegans, other vegans when she became a former vegan, is that when you are planting all of these vegetables and all of these grains, fields and fields of grains, you have destroyed the habitat of a lot of animals. So either way, you're going to be destroying other living creatures.
Well, it's even more significant than that, and that's why I recommend Pottinger's cats. In that study, what he found was it not only destroyed the animal itself, but the animal's, you know, excreted materials into the ground. It totally disrupted the main source of our life blood, which is the bacteria, molds, and funguses in the ground, the plants that grew from that, you know, and got the minerals out of the ground. And that's the key, is basically we are in a cycle to harvest minerals, and we need the bacteria, molds, and funguses in the roots of the plants to get that into the plants, and then the plants that we eat in a condensed form for the herbivore brings that into his system, and then we eat the herbivore in a more condensed form so that we can actually get the minerals and proteins and fats, primarily fats and minerals, out of the herbivore. That's the cycle, you know, and if you change that cycle, as is the lie that we're living within, for money, basically you suffer the effect. And look around you. How many healthy people do you see when you go into the mall? I mean, it's you know, totally
pretty
questionable.
Pretty disgusting.
There you go. I'm glad you said that. I didn't get the heat for that. Okay, so now let's go on our leap into common sense and analyze the digestive tracts of carnivores versus herbivores. And I hear the music.
All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And our guest this hour is Richard in Washington. So we were talking about the people at the mall and other things.
Well, that's it. Before we get started, I want to thank you for yesterday's program, as the caller you finally got on did, because it emphasizes the repeated ongoing program of depopulation, number one, and two, abuse of the Earth's resources for short-term profit. And I again recommend Jared Diamond's works, especially Collapse, because it shows us how we as humans think in our limited lifespan in the short term. And basically our inheritance that we pass on is very depleted because of our short-term perspective. And I also want to emphasize the continuing program of, as I call them, the interbreeding sociopathic tribe, to eliminate self-reliant peoples, as you discussed yesterday, and restore the feudal herd perspective, and that's the key. And that is kind of complemented by the fact that most of us seek security and try to get on with a kind of a minimalist leisure perspective.
I talked about Andrew Jackson yesterday.
Well, that's it, but you discussed what he did to the Native Americans.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's sad. And that's not the only thing that happened to them, but,
Well, that's it. That's a classic example of, the interbreeding sociopathic tribe versus the self-reliant Native Americans. And that's what happens if you look around the world in history. New technology wipes out the formerly self-reliant peoples.
Exactly.
restore this money-based operation. And we buy into it. Like I said, I'm a believer of the POGO philosophy. You look in the mirror every morning and say, you're the problem and not the solution. So if you study history, psychology, sociology, and or anthropology, it provides evidence that humans reach their most ideal existence as small tribes of reliant, self-reliant hunter-gatherer herdsmen. And, you know, you can't dispute that if you do any studies or researches. And also before, since we already got into it, I consider food or intake into the, you know, air, water, food into the body as a vibrational aspect of things. And I would recommend the book Electrical Nutrition by Dini and Shelley Heinstad. That will give you a whole different perspective of what you think eating is all about. And that in itself is amazing, and that's been suppressed, of course. Nobody really wants to talk. They think it's just we're a chemical factory.
Electrical nutrition. I mean, that really plays into the fact that of what Dr. Tennant talks about, that what a lot of people talk about, particularly another book that I have about cross currents, about our body and the fact that we're part of an electrical universe.
Exactly, and it's the same lie that William brought out earlier. You know, they give you this lie that, you know, completely refutes what is reality, and they tell it often enough, and you believe it. And, you know, other people try to convince you that there's another reality out there, but you have been so programmed to believe that, this is real, the real world, that you've lost all perspective as to what the real world is.
Indeed.
So we'll get back to the digestive tracts, and you can go online and type in a comparison between herbivores and carnivores. And a book was written recently, well, not too recently, in the 50s. And this was a scientist. I couldn't even pronounce his name. Walter Vogelin, I think, is the best shot I'm going to take at it. But he was a European scientist. And he completely scientifically matched, analyzed the tracks of the carnivore and the herbivore. He used a wolf or a dog and a sheep, and then he compared that to the man, the human. And what he found
was the name of his book?
The Stone Age Diet.
Oh, okay. All righty.
Yeah, he was the first paleo prescriber, if you want to put it like that. But he really told you the real aspect of the paleo diet versus what we're getting today, which is a lot of, sales pitch. But if you check that analysis and you go online and it'll give you a kind of like a five-part presentation of that perspective, you find our digestive tracts are almost exactly like that of the carnivore. Same placement of organs, same secretion of substances into the digestive tract. And the only thing, as we talked about on our two-hour talk, is the fact that we're standing upright. We walk on two legs, where most of the carnivores run on four. So there's a big difference there. That's something you have to take into consideration, the effect of gravity on the digestive tracts that kind of change ours. But if you look at it scientifically, ours is essentially that of the carnivore. And as I recommended to you, and you've read, I think, Weston Price's breakthrough work, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, he was, aware enough to and thought about this enough to travel to isolated locations and study the most robust examples of existing peoples. And one group he studied were the Maasai warriors of Africa. These humans were 7 feet tall and able to run as fast as most of the four-legged local animal habitants. And one of their nutritional superior foods was a drink consisting of a mixture of the milk and blood of their herd animals. You know,
nice.
And we're back to the fish of the Eskimos. I mean, we wouldn't even think that was somewhat attractive in our situation, because we're used to having Eskimo pies or whatever, we would think would be a good thing, which is nothing more than sugar in a different presentation.
Right. Sugar was basically our first addiction, our first drug.
Oh, it is the true drug, and that's what most people don't understand. What they're taking into their body is strictly carbohydrates, sugar, and eventually glucose. Our body has to handle it as glucose, and that, and I'll talk about that a little later, is what is really destroying us, and that's what I believe is the civilization cycle. We become dependent on sugar as the main drug of choice. We go into, as all addictive people do, go into denial, and we call this food in that denial process, and then we continue on our self-destruction. Back to the Eskimos, as I pointed out earlier, they live 90% on fish and blubber, whale blubber. Today we can't even conceptualize that. All the people talking about cholesterol would go crazy. I mean, these Eskimos would be killing themselves. Well, hey, they live fairly healthy and happy, eating like a large portion of their diet strictly as whale blubber. What does that say?
Right.
But you look at other healthy cultures that Dr. Price visited, they were all sustained by, a significant intake of unheated animal materials. And I again point out the recurring efforts of the inbreeding sociopathic tribe, which has the wealth and power to reduce the easily controlled masses to a feudal. And that's the key. We're headed toward a feudal system again. And as you've brought on Cliff Richards, he points out even though today it's a corporate feudalism, it's still a feudal existence, and there's only going to be the haves, that power elite, and us people scrounging around, and we've been so brainwashed, we're going to think we have to grow our food, when in reality we're supposed to be letting herbivores eat what we grow, and then we're supposed to be partaking of the herbivore, but that's totally out of our consciousness. So, that's how they got us. They brainwash us and then make money off of us because we buy into the program. If you look at it realistically, that's the most successful method to exert control, is to disinform people of the diet that will make them optimally robust. And that's
right.
That's what
they did. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no,
they did
ahead.
That in about 1985. They came, the doctors and the government came out and said, oh, we've got to decrease the fat in our diet, we've got to decrease salt, we can't be having butter. And it was from 1985 forward that all of a sudden we had all of this plague of obesity. We're not talking just about overweight people. We're talking about grossly obese people. And this is also when we had all of this diabetes. And we're talking about children having diabetes. And we're talking about children who are overweight. And it isn't because they're just sitting in front of their computers. It is because of the wheat. And it was the government and the media and the pharmaceutical companies that came out and said, you've got to cut down on the fat and the meat intake. And what do you have? You have the pharmaceutical companies now making a fortune on all of the medications that they provide to counteract diabetes and all the other things that people are, cholesterol medications and stuff. It's a big scam.
Well, that's it. If you get into it, you find, and that's why I call on your show and give doctors a bad time every once in a while, you find that this symptom treatment has nothing to do with health. It has to do with making money. And in reality, these ISTs, as I call them, the interbreeding sociopathic tribe, as you pointed out, they've been constantly promoting agriculturalism and vegetarianism, which is the natural tendency as population growth promotes this tendency toward false security and leisure-oriented lifestyles. But it's, in fact, the herd mentality of the city perspective. And this, as you pointed out, is not any way conducive to real health.
No, certainly not. My ancestors were farmers, and a lot of people's ancestors were farmers. And people used to live on the land. Everybody had a garden. Everybody grew what they ate, what they grew. And they had their chickens, and they kept all of these animals. And then they would slaughter them. Everybody had what they called a root cellar. And now, people simply do not know how to fend for themselves. They wouldn't be able to take care of themselves under circumstances that they might find themselves in.
Well, that's it. And even look at that perspective. It's been totally revised You know, how much stuff could you get out of your garden and for how long? You know, a few things for what, a month or two? You know,
right.
What did you eat the rest of the year?
Well, you knew how to preserve it. You'd either dry it, put it in the root cellar, can it, or, you know, of course, you can't think about freezers, because freezers, as you mentioned, refrigeration came into being when, 1920?
Yes, exactly. And then how many people had them at that time?
Exactly, right.
So back to your background, you know, what did you guys do with the chick, or what did your ancestors do with the chickens and the sheep and the cows? They were there all year round, and every once in a while a deer would come down to nose around the garden. He was gone. He was food. And that's it. We don't really realize, because of our revised history, exactly what farming at that level was all about. It was really... you know, develop the land so you could draw the animals and domesticate the animals so that you could get the real products, the milk, kefir, yogurt, etc., the eggs, and or the glandular tissue of the animals that gave you the minerals and the sustenance that gave you robust health. We've totally lost that perspective. And secondarily, since this is the onion, that lie was covered by the another lie and another lie and another lie, and we believe we're living off a garden. Well, you know, think of it realistically. Use common sense. That garden only existed for a couple months of the year, and that production didn't get you through the rest of the 10 months.
Right. Now, somebody in the chat room asked a question. You know, we were talking about GMO foods in the first hour, and somebody said, well, GMO wheat, there's no such thing as GMO wheat. All of it is hybrid. Every single bit of it is hybrid. They've changed it over the, at least the beginning of the 20th century. Most of that wheat was altered so that they could grow shorter stalks. So, although it is not GMO, it is hybrid wheat, and our bodies are not designed to accept that kind of a product. And, you know, Monsanto doesn't have to make it GMO. It's already dangerous to us.
Well, that's it, and I'll take it a step further. It's planted on ground that is totally deficient of minerals and sustenance, and that was found way back in the 40s. When they analyzed the soil, they found that the soil couldn't produce any more food. Your gardens couldn't produce food. All they could produce was a illusion of food, and to do that you had to spray chemicals on it to even get it to look like food. You know, so we've been lied after lied after lied after lied in the onion, and we don't realize it anymore. We're not willing to even peel back the first layer of the lie to get to the real foundational truth. And I'll inject some humor here by joking that the word vegetarian is a Native American word meaning bad hunter. And it's used to give a bad time to fellow unsuccessful tribesmen that it went out to get real food and came back empty. So our whole concept has been revised, and we just don't understand how significantly it's been revised and how many lies we've been told to get us to the state we're at.
Right.
And if you looked at the 2 hours I did before, the most important thing I think in the civilization cycles is the ultimate dependence on grain. As you get people into the city, get the herd mentality going, and to feed these people or give them sustenance so they can keep doing their leisurely lifestyle, you have to bring in the grains, because those are the only products that you can grow, like you pointed out, quickly, easily, and give minimal nutrition to keep people going. But when you do that, you know, you get all the degradation that happens to the human body, and we can talk about that because we're running short of time. I'll mention what's called the sugar handling triad, and get a little background before that. We have two ways of getting energy into our system. One is the best way, the ideal way, the healthful way, and that's in the parasympathetic, and that's by digesting food. And by food, I mean proteins and fats. We are carnivores. We are designed to run on fats for energy and proteins for rebuilding the system. If we don't do that, if we just want some quick energy, and ideally in a real world, we would only need this occasionally when a saber-toothed tiger jumped out to get us, or we had to fight off the enemy, or had to run away from some other threat or chase down food, we would go into the sympathetic. And then we could run on sugar. unfortunately, when you're running on sugar, you're really changing the whole system, and you're fermenting food, which we're not designed to do. That's what the herbivores do. And when you do that, in an ideal situation, your adrenals secrete adrenaline or epinephrine and kick in the pancreas to secrete insulin, so the sugar, the glucose in your muscles and your liver can be released and can be utilized by your cells, your mitochondria, to give you this quick spurt of energy. Now, what is happening there is that quick spurt of energy is to save your life. So what your body says, turn off everything that's not needed and sacrifice everything so that you can survive for the next day. So basically, here we go. Here's the music.
We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back, and we have some email questions.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented complement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Richard in Washington. And one of the questions we have via email is from George. He referring to you, he said, he seems to be suggesting being a carnivore. If I know roughage, then he gets constipated, which I think is a problem. But if you look at the Stone Age diet, basically we are supposed to eat things that are in the season and the things that are available in our own locality, which would include seeds, fruits, nuts, and root vegetables, things like that. So I don't believe that Richard is saying we should just eat meat.
No, we're omnivores. I mean, we do that for survival. What I'm suggesting, however, is we are primary carnivores, and we use the omnivore as gatherers, and we would go back to the things that were available in the local environment 200, 300, 400 years ago, and what would you find were the leafy things. They were the intestinal brooms with the carnivores. I mean, look at the Eskimos. They ate whale blubber. How did they sweep their system? Well, they ate berries and you know, some other fibrous things that swept the intestine out. And specifically, they didn't cook their food. That's the key. That's the thing we really have to change our mindset about. If you don't cook it, you don't have these intestinal problems, because what causes the intestinal problems, like I just pointed out, is the fact that we're always in the sympathetic. We're always fermenting foods for sugar, and that totally destroys the body, and that's the key. If you start injecting insulin and you turn your pancreas into an injecting insulin machine, which it's not supposed to be, it's supposed to make a whole gamut of enzymes, the insulin actually destroys the body from the inside, and that really eventually causes all our digestive problems, our Alzheimer's, our chronic fatigue, and all those things are based on the fact that we are not designed to ferment and run on insulin. But right. Get to other questions.
Someone else mentioned salmonella. Now, is that, and also we have all kinds of food scares, and I believe a lot of that is just what they're designed to do is to scare us. And of course, I do think there is an issue with factory farming. You want to talk about that? We only have about a minute and a half left.
Well, that's it. Let's answer that question real quick. That's based on the fermentation again. What ferments foods? It's bacteria, molds, and funguses. We are a donut. We have a hole. In that hole, all this fermentation takes place. It's really outside of our body, even though it's in the hole. And those things that are perpetuated there, if they're feeding on sugar, become very destructive, because the insulin destroys the tissue of the digestive tract, they get into the system. And at that point in time, we have created, like I said, our own demise, and we are supporting it by putting these sugar-laden products into our system. If we're eating proteins and fats, it changes the whole environment, and we actually digest food versus ferment food, and I don't even want to call a fermentation food, but we ferment the product that gets into our system and creates all these scare things. And if you track them down, that's always the situation. These products were heated and or mainly carbohydrates, and that's what caused the problem.
Yes, exactly. And of course, in the factory farming, we're out of time, but that's something that we should talk about on a program and talk about exactly what is going on. They do not feed the cattle correctly, and that causes a lot of problems for the cows, for the people who eat the cows. It's just a mess.
Well, that's it. That's the key. Yeah, that's the key. How we get quote unquote food is the problem, not what we eat. Give me back and I'll talk forever.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Appreciate your being on the program.
Have a great day, and for the listeners, have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.